Good afternoon. I call the Health and Social Services Committee to order at 1:31 p.m. on Tuesday, March 16th. We are meeting today in room 205 of the Capitol Building. Please silence your cell phones. I'd like to welcome the committee members today, and with us we have Senator Reinbold, Senator Costello, Senator Begich, and Senator Wilson is participating on the phone as the chair of the committee, and as vice chair I will be holding the gavel today as to assist him. And so we do have a quorum to do business, and so we have one item on the agenda, which is SJR 4 constitutional amendment abortion / funding, and that is sponsored by none other than me, Shelley Hughes. And today we'll hear an overview of the bill and a section analysis, and then we will take invited testimony. So today with us, Lisa, if you want to come on up. Lisa is my aide, and she will be giving us an overview of the bill. But before she does, I'd like to make some opening comments. So SJR 4, those of us who were on this committee heard it last year, but I know we have other people tuned in and other members that haven't heard it. But it proposes an amendment that would restore to the voters, to Alaskans, and their democratically elected representatives the power to set policy related to abortion. This authority has been usurped in recent decades by a series of misguided state court decisions. And I'm not going to review those. When this bill moves to judiciary, we can look at some of those decisions that would make sense there. But in this committee, I will say that as far as the U.S. Supreme Court, you are all very aware. In 1973, Roe versus Wade ruled that there is an alleged right to abortion under our federal constitution. However, what you may not be aware of, because what's been happening in Alaska, that the U.S. Supreme Court has also permitted states to put parameters regarding abortion in place in their states. For example, states can require parental involvement before an abortion can be performed on a minor. The state can determine whether or not public funds can be used for abortions. A state can decide whether certain medical procedures related to abortion can be formed, such as partial birth abortion. But in our state, as I said, we'll go over these in the Judiciary Committee, there have been a number of decisions that have been made by people in this building as well as by voters casting a decision on their ballots at the ballot box. And all of those have been overturned by our courts. And that began in 1997 when the Alaska Supreme Court declared that the judicially manufactured right to abortion protects abortion more broadly than our federal constitution. And as a result, the common sense laws that we as Alaskans and in this building as well have adopted, even though they've stood the test of time in other states, and have been upheld by federal courts, yet declared invalid here in Alaska. So the rulings that have occurred here are quite extreme, and even though they've been quite common sense. For example, in Alaska today, a girl as young as 13 could be brought into an abortion clinic by an older boyfriend, and her parents wouldn't even know about it, much less have the right to consent. The only reason for this deplorable situation is that the Supreme Court demanded it. Alaska voters have said yes to parental involvement, and the legislature has supported parental involvement. All of Alaska's governors for the last 18 years have supported parental involvement. But because of the decision of four unelected judges on our Supreme Court, the rights of parents are not protected in Alaska. I believe this is an outrage that demands to be fixed. So I want to make clear, and I know there are a lot of folks listening online, so I want you to understand that this resolution does not set any policy on abortion specifically. Rather, it answers the question, who will decide what the policy shall be? Shall it be judges, or shall it be the people of Alaska? So SJR empowers elected officials elected by the people of Alaska or Alaskans directly through the initiative process to set a policy on abortion that is consistent with Alaskan values. As I said, other states have passed laws, but I wanted you to know other states have passed constitutional amendments that restore or protect the authority of voters to determine abortion policy. And it's time for Alaska to do the same. So with that, Lisa, if you want to, we've got the PowerPoint up there, and we'll take a look at that. And I'm going to go over the first couple of slides real quickly, and then I'll hand it over to Lisa, who will finish the slides and provide a sectional analysis. So the very first slide you see, highlighted in yellow, part of the original Hippocratic Oath. It was changed in 1948. Is that correct, Lisa? Yes. So you can see what it says. I will not give a lethal drug to anyone if I am asked, nor will I advise such a plan. And similarly, I will not give a woman a pessary to cause an abortion. In purity and according to divine law will I carry out my life and art. And I just highlighted that part. Again, that was removed in 1948, but I wanted to show you that. Can you go to the next slide, please? In the first Declaration of Geneva, it was actually in response to the grotesquely inhuman treatment of individuals in Nazi Germany and kept the pledge to, quote, maintain the utmost respect for human life from the time of conception. So things have changed in recent decades, as we know by the ruling in the U.S. Supreme Court in 1973. So, but I want to tell you what, how Lisa's going to tell you what's been happening around the country. And this SJR4 would put us on par with other states. And I think you'll be surprised what you see around the country. Go ahead, Lisa.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name's Lisa Hart. I am staff to Senator Shelley Hughes. Thank you to the committee for letting me present today. The first slide I have here shows eight states. The eight states have minimal or no timing restrictions for abortion. Whether abortion is restrictive or non-restrictive, legislation-wise, state lawmakers across the country have used the legislative process to reflect the will of the voters.
Lisa, could you get a little closer to your mic?
Sure.
Pull your mic up.
Is that better?
That's better.
Okay, thank you. In 1973, the Supreme Court established that states could prohibit abortion after viability. Viability is determined on an individual state basis. The standard averages around 22 to 24 weeks. There are 24 states that have this law in place. There are 14 states that have existing laws that disallow abortion after 18 to 22 weeks. This is actually earlier in pregnancy than the aforementioned 24-week viability standard.
I'm going to interrupt you just for a minute, Lisa, because I do want to point out the map. This is not a partisan conversation, but we did use maps that showed the balance of power in the various states. You can see the key if it's a little hard to see, the blue would have a Democrat trifecta, the red, a Republican trifecta, and if it's gray, then it's divided. It's a mix of Republican and Democrat. Go ahead, Lisa.
Thank you.
Oh, Senator Beckage.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to take exception to the comment. I mean, if it's not a partisan discussion, why use a partisan map?
Thank you for that question. It's a really good question because you can go back and review the dots where she's showing these policies are on both blue, are on all three, blue, red, and gray states. So that is the point. If they were simply on red states or simply on blue states, then it would be partisan. But because it's on a mixture, it's nonpartisan. Go ahead, Lisa.
Thank you. So six states have enacted legislation to disallow abortion after 6 to 8 weeks. This legislation, it's more commonly known or referred to as a heartbeat bill. This slide will show where many states have enacted legislation for parental involvement in the form of parental consent or parental notification, or both. So we have 42 states that have taken action with regard to abortion legislation. State-level legislation has allowed for much-needed debate regarding the roles within government. This has not been the case for Alaska, however. More importantly, it's not been for lack of trying.
Before you go on, Lisa, can you go back to that slide? I just want to point something out. You know how Alaska's always shown as a little tiny state down the corner? We actually tried to size that gray. That we're gray because we're divided as far as a mix. But we tried to make it in, actually show the size difference. And I just wanted you to appreciate that because we're all often just a little tiny speck on the map. And we are not compared to the rest of the lower 48. Go ahead, Lisa.
Thank you. So what about Alaska? The Alaska Supreme Court has determined that the state constitution provides a broader right to abortion than that interpreted in the U.S. Constitution. Passing SJR 4 will allow common sense abortion policies if we so choose, as permitted under the federal constitution. It will allow elected officials or the people acting through the initiative process to determine the policies on abortion instead of unelected justices on the Supreme Court. Here are some examples that show instances when the Alaska legislature and a voter initiative have put laws on the books with regard to hospital participation, parental consent, parental notification, and public funding. The legislative process was followed, giving voice to the people of Alaska. The courts, however, decided to legislate from the bench and struck down these laws. This is the reason that the sponsor seeks to adopt this resolution, to prevent any further judicial overreach related to abortion in the state of Alaska. And with the chair's permission, I will read the SJR for sectional analysis.
You have that slide?
Sorry.
Thank you.
There you go. Section 1 amends the Constitution of the State of Alaska by adding a new section, Section 26, Abortion. The amendment states that in order to protect human life, nothing in this Constitution may be construed to secure or protect a right to an abortion or require the state to fund an abortion. Section 2 adds that the amendment proposed by this resolution shall be placed before the voters of the state at the next general election in conformity with Article 13, Constitution of the State of Alaska and the election laws of the state. This concludes this presentation, and we thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. And I'm going to ask the hold questions because we have two for invited testimony, and they might be able to, in their presentation, might be able to address some of your concerns. I see one of them online. I'm not seeing Dr. Sandra Denton. I'm going to take a double check. And if she comes on board, if you could please let me know, that would be helpful, those that are assisting us. And so since she is not online, our other actually she is. Dr. Denton, Sandra Denton, you are part of our invited testimony, and we know that you are busy seeing patients. So we'd like to take you first. And you are free to use the time that you need, and we really appreciate you taking the time. So if you could please identify yourself for the record and any affiliation you might have, and go ahead and provide your testimony today.
Yes, thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me to speak in support of SJR4. I'm a medical doctor. I graduated from medical school in 1971 from the University of Tennessee, practiced emergency room medicine for 13 years, becoming board certified in that field. And for the last 35 plus years, I've been in alternative medicine, integrative medicine, functional medicine, family care practitioner. And in fact, my schedule is absolutely packed today, but I felt this was an important enough issue that I rearranged patients so that I could join you. And I am proud to be a supporter of this resolution, and I feel that perhaps the court has manufactured the right to abortion using the state's constitution when it indeed does not state abortion in that area of the constitution. I feel definitely that parents should have a say in what's going on with their child, and they should be notified, and they should certainly be aware if this is happening. And I feel that also the voters, the Alaskans themselves, have been ignored. Their wishes have been ignored, and policy rewritten according to not the elected officials, but the unelected officials. And so I felt it was extremely important to voice my objection to that and to support this resolution. And I took the Hippocratic Oath, and to the best of my ability, I wish to follow it. At first, when I was asked or invited, I thought, oh, I'm too busy to do this. Got too many patients, too many other involvements. But I felt if I didn't speak out, then perhaps the blood of these human beings would be on my hands when it was in my ability to say something and to stand up and make a comment. So I do thank you, Senator Hughes, for bringing this to the forefront, and I'm behind you 100%.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dr. Denton. We appreciate you taking the time, and I'll see if there are any questions for you. There are none, so you can get back to your patients. Thank you so much today. I wanted to mention also Dr. Sarah Hanneman had hoped to join us, and she was not able to break away. Hopefully it wasn't an emergency with a patient, but she's not with us today. But our second and last invited testimony before we start the long, long list of public testimony is former Lieutenant Governor Lauren Lehman. Welcome, Lieutenant Governor Lehman. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Well, thank you, Vice Chairman Hughes and members of the Senate Hess Committee. Thank you for inviting me to testify. I'm Lauren Lehman. I represented parts of West and downtown Anchorage in the legislature for 14 years, and I served as lieutenant governor for 4 years. I support SGR 4 as an important step to restore to the people of Alaska and our legislature the ability to set policy on abortion. Sadly, as you have well represented already, that authority has been usurped for more than two decades by Alaska courts. This is my story of a 24-year journey defending the rights of parents to be involved in the lives of their minor daughters. Although this effort has been disrupted and delayed by what I consider to be misrepresentation of our state constitution, I'm not defeated and I'm not giving up. In 1997, I sponsored Senate Bill 24 to enable the state to enforce a law that was on the books since 1970. It required a doctor to obtain parental consent before performing an abortion on a girl under 18 years of age. An opinion issued by Attorney General Avram Gross later that decade said that that law was unenforceable because of a U.S. Supreme Court ruling requiring that state parental involvement laws must allow minors the alternative to seek a waiver in court. And this is commonly known as a judicial bypass. So for many years, the state ignored the parental consent provision. The bill I introduced added a judicial bypass, in full compliance with the rulings of the U.S. Supreme Court. At the time, the court had most recently issued a 9-0 decision in a case from Montana saying, in effect, don't send us any more of these cases. We already have told you. We approve parental involvement statutes with these provisions. Get this, even Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg agreed. Senate Bill 24 passed the legislature with supermajority support, enough to override a veto from then-Governor Tony Knowles. The Parental Consent Act was tied up in court for 10 long years. I was hopeful, but then extremely disappointed, when the Alaska Supreme Court, in a divided 3-2 decision, struck it down. We had expected a 3-2 decision the other way. The majority opinion written by Justice Dana Fabe said, however, that a law that is less restrictive, such as requiring only one parent notification with a bypass would be acceptable. So, taking the court at its word, a bill to do this was introduced in the legislature, but it did not advance through committee. So I joined with two other Alaskans, one of whom was Senator Costello, to sponsor a voter initiative for a law requiring parental notice, one-parent notice. More than 56% of Alaska's voters approved ballot measure two. So in a way, I'm speaking today for more than 90,000 voters. Planned Parenthood once again challenged the law, but Superior Court Judge John Suttick upheld it, relying on the Supreme Court's assurance that a parental notification law would be considered constitutional. But shockingly, when it reached the Alaska Supreme Court years later, four justices ignored their previous commitment and struck it down. They produced what was, in my opinion, 64 pages of legal nonsense to justify their position. I conclude that on the topic of any issues related to abortion, the decisions of a majority of Supreme Court justices are driven not by the law, but by personal ideology. That is a big problem. You as legislators make public policy decisions influenced by your values and your life experiences. You earn that right by winning an election, but unelected judges never earn that right. And when they exceed their authority, they deserve an aggressive response. This resolution by itself doesn't change abortion law. Rather, it restores to elected leaders and the people of Alaska our proper roles in setting abortion policy. When passed by the legislature and the voters of Alaska, it will invite considerably more discussion on what protections we want for parents and their children. I hope to participate in that discussion. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor Lehman. I will open it up now for any comments and questions. I will say we have a someone who called in a half hour early and did also call my office and has to be off the phone before 2 o'clock. So I'm hoping that we can have some, maybe a brief discussion so I can open public testimony before 2 if possible, and then we could have further discussion because this won't be the only opportunity. So Senator Costello.
Madam Chair, I think maybe Senator Reinbold had a question first.
Mine's a comment.
Okay.
Senator Reinbold?
Okay. First of all, Lieutenant Governor Lauren Lehman, thank you for being online today. It's absolutely incredible. Your tenacity over the last many decades is you've really set a great example. And I also want to thank today Chair Hughes in regards to this issue. I'm really thankful you're bringing this forward. Back in, it was either 2006 or 2007, I'm trying to remember right now, I went before the Supreme Court. They had public testimony in regards to parental right and parental involvement in abortion. It's the only time I've ever gone and testified. I testified there, and I'm pretty sure it was 19 people wanted parental involvement, and I believe it was one against. So it was a vast majority, like I would say 95%, you know, if you're looking at the numbers. It was huge. And sadly, the next day, Chief Justice Fabe didn't listen to the people, and I was just appalled. So I'm just telling you, that was my first before the courts, and that's been a memory, and that's what I bring to the Judiciary Chair, just the complete disregard for parental rights. I was just appalled. I'll be straight up with you, and it's really changed my perspective. But then I ended up getting involved in the ballot initiative, and with the family council. And I remember how cold it was holding signs and getting signatures and just doing all the things we had to do to get it on the ballot. Sadly, the court struck that down, and I had poured my heart and soul in. I was working with Bernadette Wilson and others, Jim Minery, on that because it was such an important issue. I was substitute teaching at the time, so it was a real issue in the life, you know, that I was going with and working with a lot of youth. But then when I finally came down here, you and I pretty much got sworn in together. In the House of Representatives, and it was you, Gabrielle Adu, and I. We decided to be three women. That was one of the very, very first bills I co-sponsored with you. We worked so hard for 2 years on that bill. 2 years. It was a lot of work and a lot of negotiation. We all had to make some compromises that were uncomfortable, but we got it to the finish line. then the court struck it down. So I guess the reason I'm saying this is such an important issue, and I want to just say thank you for bringing it forth. I'm excited that this is being brought forth, because I'm tired of the judges striking down and doing setting policy from the bench. So with that, thanks to everybody who's here testifying, and thank you, Senator Hughes, for bringing this to the forefront once again.
Thank you for those important comments. Senator Costello?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate you are trying to get to some folks who've been waiting. I have a question for the sponsor, and it's on page 1, lines 5 and line 6. So I was curious. It essentially has two sections. One is that nothing in this Constitution may be construed to secure or protect a right to an abortion. Is that clarifying Article 1, the right to privacy and the right to equal protection? Do you believe that had this been in the Constitution, that the cases that you are referring to would have had different outcomes?
Yes, I actually do. And I realize now those were not in my opening comments. Those have been the very things that have been used in the rulings. So, yes,
okay.
Had this been in there, you are correct.
And then my second question is the end of that statement, or require the state to fund an abortion. Is the intention of the sponsor then to give the legislature and governor the option of not having elective abortions funded in the Medicaid budget?
It would be if the legislature so chose that they would not allow public funds for abortions, yes. So it could pertain to Medicaid, and I will remind listeners as well as that is allowed under the federal constitution, has been upheld.
And thank you for the leeway here. I had a long conversation with a constituent earlier today, and her question was whether the intention here is to weaken Roe v. Wade, and I was hoping you could just respond to that question.
Actually, what this does essentially is allows the people of Alaska to decide. So the range of abortion policy could be all the way from leaving everything the way it is right now, in other words, doing nothing, to doing some things, perhaps reinstate parental notification or consent, to going all the way to saying no abortions. Of course, that would go up all the way to the Supreme Court to as a challenge. But it really, this legislation is, if 2/3 of the House and Senate decide this should go on the ballot, will go on the ballot. The people will decide. But it doesn't actually change any abortion policy at this point. It would be decisions going forward would be decided either by the people through the voter initiative process or by their elected officials. And then if it were to go such that it would bump up against U.S. Supreme Court, it could move up the ladder that direction. So yes. So with that, we are down to just a couple minutes, and so I am going to open public testimony, and I am going to, because this one person called in at 1 o'clock, I'm going to go ahead and let Katie Boats, first I'll open public testimony, so we're now open, and Katie, if you would like to state your name, we are going to set a time limit for 2 minutes, and I do have a statement before we continue the rest of the public testimony, but because you are on a time crunch, I'm going to go ahead and let you speak, and then I'll be saying some words before we proceed with the remainder of the public testimony. So, Katie, go ahead, identify your name for the record, and present your testimony today.
Thank you, Vice Chairman Senator Hughes and members of the Senate Health and Social Services members for allowing me to testify on HJR4. My name is Katie Boast, and I am speaking on behalf of myself. I am a full supporter of SJR4 because my biological parents kept me alive many moons ago. Let me explain. 37 years ago, my biological parents already had a family established in South Korea, 3 sons, 1 daughter. My biological father was the sole provider for my family, working in a factory, and had a great life. Out of the blue, I appeared in my biological mother's womb. Could they have aborted me for knowing that I was an unexpected child? I'm sure they had.
thought about it, but sadly they didn't. My biological parent tried to take me home to the family, but at 1 week old and the American standard, I became ill to the point of being hospitalized. That was when my adopted parents, I mean my biological parents decided that they wanted to put me up for adoption instead of allowing me to die. So why do I share this with you? And why do I share it like that? Because my biological parents allowed me to live and placed me up for adoption, I wouldn't have been able to help repeal SB 91. If my biological parents were to let me die in Korea, maybe I wouldn't have known what it's like to have major depression disorder and or be pure difficult for anyone and everyone in the beautiful state of Alaska. I still question whether or not my biological parents did the right thing by placing me up for adoption, even after all these years. I still question whether or not life as we know it in Alaska is much better off without ever knowing who I am. But unfortunately, that is not how life was intended for me.
Katie?
My life...
Katie, I just want to tell you, we hit the two-minute point. Could you please wrap up your testimony?
Yes, ma'am. If my life is so precious and valuable, then why isn't anyone else's life? Why did I get the chance to live when I hear people are allowed to perform abortion? Thank you, Madam Vice Chair, members of the committee. I appreciate being able to testify.
Thank you, Ms. Boats. We appreciate your testimony today. And now before we proceed with testimony, I just want to make a comment. Because I realize that there are passions about this particular topic on both sides of the issue, and I'm sure this is going to be rigorously and energetically debated, and it has been for decades, in fact. And so I just want to make sure everyone is civil in their comments, and I also want the folks, I hope you were listening to the presentation, because I want people to understand those waiting online, as you testified, to understand that this is not implementing a particular policy regarding abortion at this point. And so it would not change existing statutes or laws at this point. It would not ban abortion at this point. It would not jeopardize the health and life of a woman. And it would not prompt back alley black market abortions and would not set specific limits on abortion. And it would not force a sexually assaulted young girl or woman to keep her baby. It would not require the parent of a minor to be consented or notified. Passage of this resolution, if it is then voted yes at the ballot box, it does not set any, even if it's passed by the voter, would not set any specific parameters at that point. It would simply allow the people of Alaska, as I said before, to decide what kind of policy we want in the future, rather than allowing judges to make those decisions. So I just wanted to make that point so that you make sure you have the correct information as you testify regarding what this constitutional amendment would do. And so with that, I'm going to start with Morgan Lim. Morgan Lim, if you would please state your name and affiliation for the record and proceed with your testimony, please.
Thank you, Vice Chair Hughes and members of the committee. My name is Morgan Lim. I'm a Juneau resident, and I'm testifying today on behalf of Planned Parenthood Votes Northwest and Hawaii. PPVNH strongly opposes SJR 4, and we urge the committee not to move this legislation forward. Alaska is experiencing public health crises on multiple fronts, including an ongoing pandemic, a rising STI crisis, and pervasive structural racism. Yet instead of helping people get the health care they need, lawmakers are focusing on limiting our rights and inserting themselves and the government into our personal private health care decisions. SJR 4 would predominantly impact those who are already experiencing those who already experience barriers to reproductive health care in Alaska. These communities, especially American Indian and Alaska Native people, have endured a history of state-controlled reproduction, coercion, and denial of bodily autonomy. Banning abortion in the state would continue this legacy by denying these communities the ability to meaningfully consider all options available to them. People in Alaska do not want SJR4. Alaska people are coming out stronger than ever in support for increased access to reproductive health care, including abortion care. Alaska people know that access to abortion is critical to their health, the health of their families, and the stability of their communities. It is more important than ever for the Alaska Constitution to protect our right to obtain or reject medical treatment without government interference into our personal private decisions. The Alaska Constitution should continue to protect our right to abortion care. PPVNH urges the committee to reject SJR4 and instead be courageous by devoting your time and energy to proactive policies that improve public health, help pregnant people, and ensure access to sexual and reproductive health care across Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying within that 2 minutes. You had it down almost to the second, so thank you very much. Next, from Sedalia, I'm going to call on Dr. Keith Hamilton. Dr. Keith Hamilton, if you could please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony. Dr. Hamilton, are you there? You're unmuted, Dr. Hamilton. Can you hear me? Okay, we'll move on and call on him and try again in a minute. Okay, so next we have Michael Thomas of Anchorage. Mr. Thomas, please state your name for the record, and you have 2 minutes for your testimony.
Hi. Thank you for giving me a chance to testify. My name is Michael Thomas, and I'm citizen of Alaska, resident here in Anchorage, and I really appreciate you putting this forward, Senator Hughes. And so many issues have been brought up, and as my sister who got me to in on the call, and so I'm not really dialed in on the issues, but what I hear mostly, I hear a lot of things, but we have like a rogue court in this state, and that's my understanding of how I grew up is you have one person, one vote, and we have a court that doesn't even respect the courts higher up over it, and it's making decisions for us. I think, and that's what this is addressing. You really, I appreciate you, Senator, for taking this on. You picked a really hot issue, and I support you in it, but really it's the court, and we have to do something about this court. I wonder if there's a less hot issue to address our bad court. This is a bad, bad court. I don't know how else to put it. These are bad guys. They're taking my one vote, your one vote, and somehow or another twisting it so they get all the votes. That's a bad deal. We got some bad guys there doing bad stuff. That's all I heard. And so, yeah, I support this, and that's my testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas, for your testimony. And next we'll go to Wendy Perkins of Anchorage. Please state your name for the record. And, you know, for all those listening, it would be helpful at the beginning of your testimony if you want to say if you're for or against, if you support or oppose the resolution, that would be helpful, and then proceed with your testimony, a two-minute testimony or less. Wendy Perkins, please identify yourself.
Yes, hi. This is Wendy Perkins, and I am very much in support of this amendment to the Constitution. Once again, thank you so much for bringing this forward. Oh, and I could not agree more with the prior caller in regards to this actually addresses a lot of things. So I know that probably a lot of people are on the line, you know, probably because of the abortion issue, but this really pertains to so many issues that us as Alaskan people deal with, and we really do need a balance in our governmental system. The beauty in a three-party or a three-branch system is really being violated, And I feel like as an Alaskan voter, my vote is being violated. I feel violated very much. And also in regards to the abortion issue, as a woman, I feel like, I grew up here in Alaska as a young woman. And if I found myself in a precarious situation where I was under bad influences and went ahead and got kind of tricked into, perhaps terminating a pregnancy, how horrendous. That is absolutely unbelievable. I would need my parents' help in that situation. And it's evil. It's absolutely evil that the court system has taken this beautiful family structure and twisted it so that people are vulnerable, and are put in situations where they have to deal with that pain for the rest of their lives. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Perkins. We appreciate your testimony today. Next, we have Aaliyah Preston of Wasilla. Aaliyah, please state your name for the record, and if you would, express at the front of your two-minute testimony your support or opposition.
Hi, my name is Aaliyah Preston, and I am from Wasilla, and I am a mom and a aunt, and that's who I'm representing, and that only today, and an educator as well. I am for this bill. I echo the two people that were before me. This is all about the judges and their overreach. As many of you know, I campaign for people that deserve it, and I work hard to try to get people in office that deserve to be there, and I never have once campaigned for a judge, and I never will. So it just seems like all of the people that have campaigned hard for people to be in office to make laws to represent us is undermined by what the courts are doing. So I am again for this bill. Also, my niece was born in an abortion clinic, and I really wish that this bill had, or this resolution had been put in place in her state and that somebody had stopped it. Fortunately, she lived. And because she lived and because we were able to adopt her, her husband is now serving in the Air Force, and they are a great military family that are working hard, and she is pregnant and her husband is deployed, and she's taking it like a champ, and I'm so incredibly proud of her. And we are losing thousands of babies every year just like her, and it needs to stop so that we can get better voters to keep you all in office.
Thank you very much, Ms. Preston. We thank you for your time today, and we're going to try again on Dr. Keith Hamilton of Soldotna. Are you able to hear us now, Dr. Hamilton?
Yes, thank you. I apologize for losing you before. My name is Dr. Keith Hamilton. I live in Soldotna, Alaska. Some of you know me as a member of the State Board of Education, also a commissioner with the Alaska Commission of Post-Secondary Education, also a state personnel board member, and the founding president of Alaska Christian College. But today I come to you as an individual requesting, yes, that you do support SJR4. I'm living result of a child that was to be aborted. My maternal grandparents, once they found out my birth mother was pregnant at age 17 and unmarried, determined that she should have an abortion. Because I was born in 1962 and not 1973, telling you my age, I guess, it was illegal to abort a child. While they considered Mexico for the abortion, it was finally determined that I would be adopted after birth. And I was adopted 6 weeks later to a loving family. The great part of the story is that I was able to meet my birth mother 25 years ago, after my adopted parents were deceased. I tell you my story because it's a story told many times over many years. It's about joining other states that know that every womb carrying a child has the life that needs to be born. It is the greatest choice many people will make, and when life is chosen, it is a gift we receive all as humanity. To take a life in the womb is against human nature. To kill a baby at any age is morally, ethically, and biblically wrong. Yes, biblical, and as a Christian, I understand the Bible to clearly proclaim that every life is loved by God and meant for being all that it can be. And I support all efforts to ensure every life at any stage, especially the unborn baby, has a shot at life. So I support the constitutional change stating, quote, to protect human life, nothing of the Constitution may be construed to secure or protect a right to an abortion or require the state to fund an abortion. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hamilton, for taking time out of your busy day. Next is out of Fairbanks, Mary Elizabeth Kerhahan Stark, and I probably botched your last name. If you could state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony, please.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the Health and Social Study Social Services Committee for this opportunity to testify today. For the record, my name is Mary Elizabeth Carehan Stark. I live in Senate District B, and I'm representing myself. I'm a mom and an aunt. I'm here to oppose Senate Joint Resolution 4 regarding its position to erode the Alaska Constitution privacy protection. In my opinion, SJR 4 is an example of what Right to Life supporters in our legislative body want so badly to accomplish, that is to abolish a woman's right to privacy in her thoughts and actions. Ultimately, by permanently changing our Constitution, our legislature would be able to decide a citizen's right or opportunity and protection under law. The reality is most affected by this proposed amendment are the most vulnerable members of our communities, since the typical abortion patient is single, very poor, and living at the federal poverty level and low income. The current poverty level for an Alaskan household is one is $15,950. So the result of this resolution, if it is passed, would be eroding a life and placing this single female woman into the largest population group living in poverty in the United States. So I hope that you are aware of this, Senators Hughes. On a more personal note, I'm 64 years old now, but during another time in my life, I was young, poor, and barely supporting myself. I was going to school to hopefully secure a better life for myself, for my community, but I had to make this decision to continue. But I knew then, as I know now, it was the best decision of my life. I thank God that abortion was safe, legal, because at that time, I know I was not ready, emotionally and financially, ready to be a mother of a child. I plead that this does not go through. I plead that you reject SJR 4, because each Alaskan, regardless of financial status, deserves the opportunity to control their own life at the most basic level, their own bodies, their own family, their own life choices. Thank you for your time and respected consideration of my thoughts.
Thank you, Mary Elizabeth, and I didn't say your first name because I should have written it out phonetically so I'd know how to pronounce it, but I appreciate you joining us today. Next, Karen Baker from Anchorage, please state your name for the record in just a moment. I also want to say that we have 50 people online, and our meeting goes till 3 o'clock, and you do the math with 2 minutes. We will probably run short on time, I'm most certain. So I do want to give the committee email address, and even if you've testified, it's still a good idea to provide it if you do have it written up. And that email address is it's the initials for Senate Health and Social Services. So it's shsssam@aklg.gov. And next we will go to Karen Baker of Anchorage. Please state your name for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hello, my name is Karen Baker, and I'm here representing myself as an Alaskan. I live in Anchorage, and I want to express my strong opposition to SJR 4. Seeking to amend our state constitution in order to ban abortion care is inappropriate and harmful, but using your time and resources to try to limit access to necessary health care during a pandemic is particularly irresponsible. Alaska is already a nationwide leader in poor indicators of sexual and reproductive health, with some of the highest rates of unintended pregnancy, STIs, intimate partner violence, and sexual assault in the country. Given these horrendous health outcomes, it's absurd that lawmakers are focusing on restricting access to care rather than on ensuring much-needed preventive health services. Alaskans need and deserve continued access to safe, legal abortion care. It's not only the right choice, it's the popular choice, with nearly 80% of Alaskan voters saying they would have doubts about legislation that bans abortion care. When the courts overturn these pieces of anti-abortion legislation, they're not legislating from the bench. Striking down illegal legislation is part of the responsibility of our courts. Alaskans have a constitutional right to abortion care, and it's been continually shown. Continuing to try to defend illegal, harmful legislation in the state courts is a waste of taxpayer money. We need to be doing work to expand health care for Alaskans and not restrict it. We have a particularly stellar state constitution, and we do not need to mar it with these partisan attacks on health care. Thank you for your time, and I encourage you to oppose SJ4. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Baker, for your testimony this afternoon. And next, we will go to Shannon Nye. Shannon, please identify your name for the record and proceed with your two-minute testimony, please.
Thank you, Chairman Hughes and the committee. My name is Shannon Nye. I am calling on behalf of myself to support SJR4. Our Constitution states that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life is an unalienable right. When there is a creation within a womb, it's destined to have a heartbeat. Or maybe it has a heartbeat at some point. It does. And that creation in the womb, that very thing, which in the moment of life or death, tragedy of a person that is living, the thing that we look for is a pulse or a heartbeat, a sign of life, which is shown in the womb. I support and urge, I support SJR4, and I urge the support of it.
Thank you very much, Shannon, for your testimony today. Next, we'll go to Karen Lewis. Good afternoon, Karen. Please state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Karen Lewis, and I'm on the board of directors for Pro-Life Alaska. I want to thank you, Senator Hughes, for holding these testimonies and also the committee members. We support SJR4 vigorously. We, the people of Alaska, have the right and duty to decide abortion policy. Not activist judges who legislate from the bench, which is exactly what they do. We the people are tired of that. We're talking about babies here. I mean, I heard someone earlier talk about reproductive health care. I mean, it's a sanitized term for abortion. And abortion is a barbaric act of murdering unborn babies. And, I mean, we're up to our eyeballs in the blood of unborn babies. Hillary Clinton said that abortion should be safe, rare and safe. 66 million babies since Roe v. Wade has been implemented is not rare. And it's not safe either. With every abortion, there's at least one dead, sometimes both. And always the woman is, or almost always, the woman is emotionally messed up or physically messed up. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen during an abortion, but they're kept under wraps. Mother Teresa said, it's a poverty that a child must die so that you may live as you wish. I mean, you have to remember out there, gals that have had abortions and are you know, trying to support that. You could always have given the baby up for adoption like that doctor. I mean, I'm sure he's a wonderful man. And there's a lot, you know, 66 million people. Come on. This is United States of America, and we're murdering our babies. We got to stop that. We've got to stop that. How many forms of birth control do we have? We don't need to murder our babies.
Karen, could you please wrap up your testimony? You're at the two-minute mark.
I'm sorry?
Could you please wrap up your comments? You're at the two-minute mark.
I'm finished.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us today. Next, we have Janet Kidd of Fairbanks. Janet, if you could please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony. You have 2 minutes. Can you hear me, Janet?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Proceed.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, so my name is Janet Kidd. I'm Fairbanks, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to voice my opposition to SJR4, the proposal to add to the state constitution an amendment that could eliminate a woman's right for an abortion or the funding for the abortion. I appreciate you that providing that clarification at the beginning of the introduction of the bill. Although passage of the amendment would ultimately be decided by the voters and likely voted down, it reflects a disconnect on the part of the legislature with the majority of Alaskans, 63% in recent polls, who have indicated that abortion should be legal in all or most cases. Alaska has always prided itself on the provision in our Constitution for a right to privacy. The amendment proposed by SJR is a fundamental departure from this longstanding provision. I found it interesting that time was devoted to what other states are doing with a primary focus on how many other states have restrictions on abortion. We have always prided ourselves on doing things differently up here. Women need to have access to abortion services for a variety of reasons, victims of sexual assault or incest, the lack of the emotional or financial means to support a child, a fetus that will not be able to make it to term due to complications, and the ability to decide the right time to start a family. It is a personal decision, and the government should not have authority to affect this decision. And by the way, the right to privacy does not start at age 18. I can think of all kinds of scenarios where a minor might want to have an abortion without the consent of their parents. I am so grateful for our state Supreme Court. They are considering the rights of all Alaskans, not one representative's or select constituents' desires. Thank you for providing me this opportunity. I'm finished.
Thank you very much, Ms. Kidd. Doran Hickman of Fairbanks, please state your name, and if I mispronounce it, I apologize, and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Doran Hickman, Sr., and I live in Fairbanks, part of Senate District A, and I oppose SJR4. Thank you, committee, for giving me a moment in time of your time, and I just oppose this bill because there's a whole lot of factors that are involved. I mean, economics, mental health, a woman's right to choose. We're not here to judge, and we're not here to we're not placed on this earth to condemn them. There's just factors involved. There's economics. I mean, it's just all type of factors that are involved, and we should consider that before we start trying to change the laws. And I'm finished.
Thank you very much, Duran, for your testimony today. Lynette Pham of Anchorage, please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, my name is Lynette. I live in Anchorage, and I am representing myself. I am testifying in opposition of SJR4. This bill proposes to permanently amend our Constitution to pave the way for banning safe and legal abortion. If you consider Alaska's history and the United States' history of reproductive rights before these modern times, forced sterilization of indigenous women without their consent was common and impacted generations of family with trauma. This aggressive force of control was racist and a form of colonization. This amendment to our Constitution forces government control onto the bodies of indigenous, brown, and black people who can't get pregnant. It would make space for removing our rights without our consent and would perpetuate forms of racism, colonization, and government control over our bodies. Individual rights and freedoms go to the heart of who we are as a state, including the right to access safe and legal abortion. Chair and committee, please reject SJR4 because each of us deserves the opportunity to control our lives at the most basic level, our bodies, our families, and our life's path. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Lynette. We appreciate you testifying. Next, we have Christine Robbins of Fairbanks. Good afternoon, Christine. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, my name is Christine Robbins from Fairbanks, Alaska. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. I'm calling in support of SJR4. This bill puts the will of the people back squarely in the hands of the people. So there's an extreme imbalance and lack of decency on the part of activist judges who are acting outside the scope of their duties. This usurpation of power must stop. The mistake that many make is ending with the Alaska Supreme Court instead of carrying their issue to the Supreme Court of the United States. The unconstitutional limitations that the Alaska Supreme Court has imposed on Alaskans by radical judges needs to be addressed. This doesn't limit our rights. It gives us more. The rights of the baby, the parent, the individual, and the people as a whole are addressed. Abortion is never safe, and almost 100% of the time results in a death. So this is a very responsible and humane step in the right direction, and I urge you to pass this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Christine, for your testimony today. I also want to let those listening know that Senator Reinbold is now in the committee, but by telephone and listening. So she is listening. And next we have Julie Endel of Palmer. Julie, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Julie Endel, and I'm speaking on my behalf, and I am in favor of SJR 4 for many reasons. I think the Alaskans should have a say in deciding the vote. That's why we vote. And also for the another reason why is as a taxpayer, I do not want to fund abortions. I think it's wrong. A lot of people just testified that they want privacy, right to privacy. Then if they want right to privacy, then by all means, you fund it yourself. Please do not put a burden on the taxpayer to fund abortions. And I think we Alaskans should have the right to vote and keep the Supreme Court judges out of it. And that's what we have voting for. Thank you, Senator Hughes.
Thank you for your testimony, Julie. Next is Candace Kale of Denali.
Hello. Good afternoon. My name is Candace Kale. I live in Denali, and I'm representing myself. Thank you for the time and the opportunity to testify. I strongly oppose SJR 4. This is an extreme bill that proposes to permanently change the state constitution, taking away individual rights and freedoms, which are the foundation of our country, and it's a source of immense pride in the state of Alaska, okay? This is all done in an attempt to remove our ability and the right to make decisions about our own lives and to control what happens to our bodies, whether or not to become a parent. SJ4 seems to me to be an attempt to bypass one branch of the government, the courts, because the legislature is unhappy with their rulings. Rulings by our courts are a part of the process. On a personal note, I am a woman who has had an abortion, and I have also placed a child for adoption. Okay? I've been in both places, and both decisions were my choice. They were right for me, and no one else should be able to make that decision or take my rights away to decide for myself. Again, I oppose SJR4, and I urge you to do so as well. That's the end.
Thank you, Candace, for your testimony. Kelvin Rogers of Fairbanks, state your name for the record, please, and proceed with your testimony.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please state your name and continue.
My name is Kelvin Rogers. I'm from Fairbanks, Alaska, and I oppose this resolution. And I think the courts are doing a great job of following the law and the science. And I frankly don't trust the public to get it right on this one. Sometimes the courts are ahead of public opinion. I'm going to cite Loving v. Virginia, the case that made interracial marriage legal in the U.S. The Supreme Court made that decision in 1967, and the public approval didn't reach 50% until 1995. Make no mistake, if this bill passes, it will be followed with zealous and unconstitutional restrictions, wasting more of our state's time and money fighting legal battles over a political wedge issue. To those who do have a deep problem with abortions occurring, I suggest that rather than trying to litigate it this way, you divert your efforts to funding sexual and birth control education, which would better Alaskans and reduce instances where people who have no other choice have to seek out an abortion. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rogers, for joining us today. Next, and I please correct the pronunciation of your name. I'm guessing I'll get it wrong. Xochita Lopez of Homer. Please state your name for the record and continue with your testimony.
Hi, yes, thank you. My name is Sochi Lopez Ayala, and I'm on Denina Lands in Homer, and I oppose SJR-4. Senator Hughes, it's shameful that you would try to bring this attack on abortion access again. And earlier you stated, quote, alleged protection, end quote. That's incorrect, Ms. Hughes. Abortion is protected by the U.S. Constitution as well as our Alaska Constitution. You know, Senator Reinbold, it has been a lot of work, a lot of time and energy. Constantly have to remind you that abortion is legal. I'm having to show up to these meetings and keep advocating for Alaskans' abortion access. Senator Hughes and Reinbold, if you care about Alaskans and Alaskan parents, why are you not focusing your time on our lack of affordable housing, rising child care, increasing medical costs, introducing comprehensive sex ed, navigating the double day with the COVID-19 pandemic, parenting at home and learning? You spend all this time.
Senator Hughes.
Just a minute. Let's allow the testifier to complete, and you have go ahead.
It just needs to be stayed to the bill at hand.
I am. It's all a part of reproductive justice. I can go ahead and send you all some articles about that as well. But you could be advocating for medical expansion, COVID relief for housing and economic impact, laws preventing teens from obtaining health care unless they can talk to a parent, put their health and safety at risk, and do not increase family communication. Folks who have sexual violence done to them enacting in a pregnancy, sometimes by family members. For teens who feel they cannot safely turn to their parents, government coercion doesn't change anything. Going to court jeopardizes their confidentiality, particularly in small communities where a person may be recognized by the judge or court panel. When the government controls our bodily autonomy and infringes on our access, it opens the doors for such procedures as forced sterilization and continued attack on BIPOC folks. That's Black, Indigenous, and people of color. Let me remind you both that, and all those on the line that are for this, that Roe versus Wade was not about the moral implications of abortion. It was about safety, equal access, and especially the right to privacy in a person with a uterus choosing to have an abortion.
Ms. Lopez, I gave extra time for you because of the earlier comments interrupting you, but you are now at time. Can you please wrap up your statement?
Okay, thank you. These decisions are allowing people to evaluate their own situations. Keep abortion safe and legal. Oppose SJR-4. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Next, we have John Soman of Douglas, Alaska. John, state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony. John, can you hear us? And we're getting some feedback. Are you able to state your name for the record?
Am I up? I'm sorry. I'm John Soman.
Yes.
Over on Douglas.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was listening in on a meeting with Senator Stevens. It's over an hour debriefing. I am just kind of appalled that we have let the misinformation so overrun this Democratic, used to be Democratic state and nation, that we can allow. It started probably in the 1980s. I grew up in Henry Hyde's district in Illinois. Before he proposed his amendment to take away funding for foreign providers of abortion, I talked to him, and he revealed to me that he was an unwanted child. I think that his lifelong battle then, contrary to the woman who spoke earlier about also being an unwanted birth, is a fight with women's liberty that we've been having for half a century at least. I mean, before that, in fact, but half a century since gaining the right to vote by people who were held in chains for the first 200 years of our existence, and still are to some extent. But the women's right has yet to be made an amendment, and that needs to be done, too, because you nor any other person has the liberty to tell another person what their liberty is. Our liberties are all self-revealed by our education. I am so tired, as I started, to hear how the misinformation has brought out the pre-Homo sapien thinking to the extent that we are going to take someone else's liberty away from them,
John,
which we have no right to do.
John, your time has expired. Can you please wrap up your statement?
I understand. Thank you. I'm opposed to your amendment, and I wish to be sure that you realize that it's not your right to tell another person how to live their life.
Thank you for your testimony today. And next, we will have Pamela Samash. I'm from Anana. Pamela, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Pamela Samash, and I'm so glad to be testifying, and I appreciate you giving me the chance. Thank you. I support this resolution. I'd like to thank Senator Shelley Hughes for this resolution. The reason is because I myself am a child of a teenager who everybody told to abort me, and no one should be able to have the right to just terminate me. And Supreme Court should have never had the authority to even claim this practice is legal. I have a purpose, and I am just as important as anyone else, even though I was inside of a 15-year-old girl. I'm still me, and I'm still precious in the eyes of God. And nobody has the right or ever had the right to kill me, regardless if we were poor or rich. Also, I was involved years ago in getting the signatures for the parental rights ballot. And Alaskans, am I already done?
No, you have a little bit of time. Continue.
Oh, okay. And Alaskans clearly and loudly spoke that they wanted this initiative, the parental rights initiative, years ago. But as the man mentioned earlier, before, our voices were silenced and our rights as citizens were stolen from us. Why does the majority not matter? And if that's the case, why do we even vote for anything? I really hope this resolution does move forward. Please hear us this time. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela. We appreciate your testimony today. Cynthia Ducey of Anchorage, you are next. Please state your name for the record.
Yes, my name is Cynthia Ducey. I support SJR 4. I'm an attorney in Anchorage. I've been licensed for 37 years. I represent myself today. I speak in favor of SJ 4 for the following reasons. Abortion in Alaska has been legal for through term at the discretion of the medical provider, according to Alaska regulation. Excuse me. And this was not passed by the legislature, but it was through administrative regulation, and this was imposed on the people by bureaucrats. And attempts to restrict abortion have been defeated by judges, including in 2001, State versus Planned Parenthood. The Supreme Court created an artifice of a constitutionally protected right to reproductive freedom. And this isn't found anywhere in the U.S. or Alaska Constitution. Last year, as you know, following statutory and regulatory changes restricting Medicaid funding, in State v. Planned Parenthood of the Great Northwest, this court used the same artifice of the constitutional right to reproductive freedom to strike down statutes and regulations that restricted Medicaid funding, and that denies the reality that Planned Parenthood's main profit is from the abortion industry. There is no constitutional right to reproductive freedom in the Constitution, but judges have interpreted that the Alaska Constitution's right to privacy only protects abortion, and this was not what the constitutional framers intended and not what our citizens wanted. And polls taken since then, and if you look at the Midnight Sun poll, the pollster got a BC rating, not an AB rating, as the Midnight Sun reported. The tides are shifting, and Americans do want restrictions on abortion. Recently, I spoke with nurses in the Providence NICU because my daughter, who's adopted, had a baby at 28 weeks who's thriving there. Babies are viable at 21 weeks, and they're survivable, and the technology there is changing, too, so that babies can survive even younger than 21 weeks.
Cynthia, could you please wrap up your comments?
Yes, I will. I would urge you to support SJR4 and let the people decide, not judges and bureaucrats. Thank you so much for your consideration.
Thank you, Cynthia, for being with us today. Teresa Sirem of Anchorage.
Okay, I have to take this call. I can't see. Hello?
Hello. Teresa Sirem, state your name for the record and provide. Yes, we can.
Okay, great. So, yes, I'm representing myself, but also all the ordinary voters of Alaska. So I just want to say that Alaskans are going to really watch how both sides of the aisle respond to this bill on its whole process. All it does is codify what should already be acknowledged by our Supreme Court, which is that the manifest meaning of a clause in our Constitution. That's all it does. And legislators of all party affiliations owe us that rock-bottom right of government, you know, of, by, and for the people. So Democrats who do not support it betray really gross insincerity in their profession to give, you know, all the people a voice. And in particular, they deny a voice to those unborn constituents. And Republicans who fail to actively support this this resolution will be, you know, clearly marked as similarly untrue to the principles of government by the people, but also as cowards who are unwilling to protect even the most basic human right of life itself by, you know, thwarting any possibility of us placing limits or on that, you know, even limits, I should say. And independents will show themselves not independent at all because they're unable to stand up against those who would seek to, you know, allow the brutal murder of unborn Alaskans and to continue to force us to pay for it, our state to pay for it. So, you know, pro-life legislators have long evaded accountability for their failure to stand up for our basic rights, like this one, to have a constitution that our judges will be forced to acknowledge what it says, and they prevent this kind of pro-life legislation from ever coming to a floor vote, and we now have the Alaska Watchman newspaper.
Teresa,
we now have a way to track.
Teresa, you're at time. If you could wrap up, please.
Yep. Who's gonna stand up for us, their constituents, and who will not, and our rights? We're gonna vote you out and replace you with candidates who will stand up for our Constitution and its the rights that it ensures us. Thank you very much, and thank you, Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Teresa, for being with us today. Next, we'll go to Tracy Sundberg of Wasilla. Tracy, please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Hi, my name is Tracy Sundberg, and calling as on myself as a parent. I have I'm in support of SJ4. I believe that there's been a lot of great things that have been brought up today. One of which is, as a parent of four, ranging from 12 to 22, I have to say there is more than enough sex education out there. There's more than enough funding for it. And as for the demographics that were noted of, hello?
We can hear you. Continue.
Okay. As far as the demographics that were noted, that most of the abortions happen to low-income people, I don't necessarily agree with that. I know as a parent, I would want to know. And then going back to the actual bill, I think that it's really important that the voters' vote counts. So I know you've heard a lot of that. I'm just supporting this bill, and I appreciate Senator Hughes.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony today. Next is Carol Carmen of Palmer. Carol, please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Hello, my name is Carol Carmen. I support SJR-4's amendment to the Alaska Constitution. First of all, I was stunned when the legislature passed and the governor signed a bill outlawing state-funded abortions just for the judiciary to take the opposite stand, citing the state constitution as the reason. Our state constitution says our government is of, by, and for the people. Adults in our state should have the right to decide a matter of life and death, rather than courts telling us that we do not have the right to choose laws that reflect our community standards. While I don't see anything in our state constitution protecting the murder of unborn babies, this resolution should take care of the problem of judges legislating from the bench on this issue. Additionally, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is a well-known phrase in the United States Declaration of Independence. The first word is life. The phrase gives three examples of the unalienable rights which the Declaration says have been given to all humans by their creator and which governments are created to protect. It's become common practice for the judiciary to overstep their bounds in ways that cannot be backed up by law or the Constitution. The excuses they use are confusing at best. For example, right to privacy does not mean right to murder. And if judges truly want equal protection, they would outlaw abortion as equal protection of life for all humans, as we find in the Declaration of Independence. To those who are pro-abortion, I would say that your rights to control your body ends where another individual's body begins. That baby inside of you is another human being. There are always other options for unwanted pregnancies. Even when the mother's life is in danger, there are procedures that strive to save the life of both parties.
Thank you. You're going to need to wrap up. We're at the 2 minute, Carol.
Okay, thank you. Well, this bill does not reflect abortion in particular and does not prevent it. I want to thank you, Senator Hughes, for writing it because it does give us that opportunity as citizens of this state to vote for bills that do reflect our community standards. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Ms. Carmen. Next is Stephanie Taylor of Anchorage. Stephanie, can you hear me? Can you state your name for the record, please? Stephanie, can you hear me? Okay, go ahead. We can hear you now. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Stephanie Taylor, and I am representing myself. Thank you, Senator Hughes, for this resolution and for holding these hearings. I am calling in support of SJR-4. Pro-life Alaskans have worked hard to get laws passed that support the protection of unborn life. At every turn, Alaskan courts have reversed these efforts. It is abundantly clear that our courts have not remained neutral on the issue of abortion. The people of Alaska have made it very clear by our votes and our efforts that we support the protection of unborn life. Reasonable regulation of abortion is in the best interest of women and unborn babies. There are plenty of legal protections in place to protect women's privacy and young Alaskans. The fact that abortion is legal does not make it right. At one time, slavery was legal, but everyone would agree that it was not right. It's time for Alaska to move forward and enshrine the protection of human life in our Constitution. This amendment would permit the decisions Alaskans have made to stand and hopefully save precious lives in the process. Please pass SJR-4. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie, for being with us today. Next, Lisa Gentleman of Eagle River. Lisa, you are next. Yes. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Hello, my name is Lisa Gentleman. I'm calling in support of SJR-4. I'm representing myself. I'm here today to ask Alaskan people and legislators to support SJR4. We must defend, protect, and speak up for the safety and the rights of the unborn until they are capable of defending themselves. Even before our Constitution was written, we were all given the unalienable right to life by our Creator, as is stated clearly in the Declaration of Independence that we have the right to life. Why do we have government? It is to secure our rights and the rights of the unborn. The government must step up and support the rights to the unborn. They are people too. Due to the fact that some governmental officials, particularly the judicial branch, are not following the Declaration of Independence, they have wrongly taken the unalienable right of life away, and they will be held account someday, even in a higher court, the court of God. According to directions given to the Americans by the writers of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, we must take it upon ourselves in sacred honor, I quote, and we must declare judges an unfit to rule in a free nation and remove them from power and instead institute officials who will defend the right of life and, quote, assent to laws most wholesome and necessary for the public good. I have been a single parent. It is challenging. In the womb, they told me they weren't sure if the baby was alive, and then 10 days later, the heartbeat came. I proceeded forward with the birth, became a single mother when the baby was 17 days old. I had to pursue education. It was very difficult. It continued on, had to ask for help, had to ask to live in a neighbor's home, left everything. But we can make it, and I'm so thankful for my son, who's now going to be 31, and grandchildren. I'm so glad for laying down my life and pursuing this.
Lisa, your time is up. Could you please wrap up?
So please support all life, especially the unborn, in SJR4. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Next, we'll go to Hillary Hunter of Petersburg.
Sorry. this is Hillary Hunter in Petersburg, Alaska, and I am against this bill, or not bill, but SBJ-4. I am testifying on behalf of myself, but I am an advocate for victims of sexual assault and domestic violence, and also survivors of sexual assault as a minor. And Alaska in 2019 was 4 times the national average for sexual assault, and the average age in 2019 was 15-year-olds. 15-year-olds can get pregnant, and quite often it can be a family member or someone within their own family. Requiring them to have permission from somebody to be involved, to go, and to find out what their own rights are after the full experience of having their body taken away from them, control over their own body taken away from them, to tell them that it is more important to spend 9 months going through hormonal, emotional, physical challenges, knowing that their body isn't their own. Sounds like a recipe for mental health and possible suicide, which we're also at very high risk for in Alaska. And I think that if we are prioritizing young people and Alaskans, we need to protect people and let them know that they are important, that they do matter, and that their voices deserve to be heard and they deserve to be protected. I think that that is what this is about, and I think that it is incredibly important that before we take away any rights and protections for people, we make sure that there is a system there to catch them. And I often hear for abortion that there is going to be protections for people because if people experience sexual assault, there'd be an exception for them. But now working within the system as an advocate myself, especially during COVID, it takes over a year if they're convicted, and it's under 10%. It's under 10% where they find them guilty. Most often there are no other witnesses, so there's no one there to testify that it really happened. And
Hillary, you are at time now. Could you please wrap up?
Yeah. So I really appreciate the opportunity to call in, and I'm really glad that I got this last moment. And I think this is incredibly important, and I appreciate that it is open to the public so that voices can be heard, that people that this really affects can speak up for themselves.
Thank you very much, Hillary, for joining us together. We are at time. I'm going to take two more, and then I'm going to repeat the number. I know there are a lot of you on here, and I just want to say I'm very grateful for your interest, and I wish we had time to hear from all of you, but you will be able to provide your testimony in writing, and we will make sure the committee members get the information. I also want to mention that this bill is referred next to the Judiciary Committee and to the Finance Committee, so there will be further opportunities for testimony. So with that, we're going to take Candy Miller, and then the last person to testify will be Sherry Eichenlaub. So Candy, if you would like to go ahead and state your name, and you have 2 minutes.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I'm calling on behalf of myself, Candy Miller. I'm in District 9, Wasilla-Palmer area. I support SJR 4. I was, because of a teleconference like this several years ago, that a woman, Alaska Native woman, called in support of this was defunding abortion. She referenced Proverbs 6:17. I am a person of faith. I honor our Creator God, and I think very highly about the Word of God. And she read Proverbs 6:17. It says verse 16 says, these six things the Lord hates. Verse 19 says, verse 17, last part says, and hands that shed innocent blood. And this Alaska Native woman said that in Hebrew, the word hands means powers that. And I was like, whoa, we the people are the powers. We the people decide where our money is going, and I do not want to have any money. I don't want to be responsible from a we the people aspect of funding the hands that shed innocent blood. I don't want to be part of that. It really gave me a more of a strength of understanding. We all have choice, and by the way, it looks like from what I read, SJR4 does not deal with choice, but it does have an aspect of dealing with not the state money not directing it to paying for abortion. It looks like that's how I read that.
Candy, you are at time. Can you please wrap up your comments? You're at time.
So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. We appreciate you joining us today. And our last testifier is Sherry Eichenlaub. But for those of you who are online and have been so incredibly patient, I really thank you. No matter what side of the issue you are on, we want to hear from you. And again, I will give you that email. It is the initials or the acronym for Senate Health and Social Services. So it's SHSS@aklg.gov. So, Sherry Eichenlaub, please state your name for the record. You are our last testifier today, and you have 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Sherry Eichenlaub. I'm calling from Wasilla, and I testify on behalf of myself, and I'll make this short and sweet. I totally agree with the SJR4. I support this. Thank you for bringing this up, Mrs. Hughes. The thing is with our children going to schools, they need to have a permission slip to go on these field trips. But my understanding is that they can go and have an abortion without the parents even knowing about it. I think this is just horrific. I just want the judges to start listening to the Alaskan people. And again, I support the SJR4, and thank you for bringing this up, Mrs. Hughes. Have a good day.
Thank you very much, Sherry, for your testimony today. Again, there are a number of people we didn't get to. I encourage you to submit your written testimony to shss@aklag.gov, and I'm going to close public testimony and remind those, too, that are online, you will have further opportunities as this bill has other committees of referral. And so with that, at this time, we will set the bill aside, but I do want members to know that amendments will be due to at 5 p.m. to Senator Wilson's office on Friday, March 19th. So that's this Friday. by end of business day 5 p.m., and that concludes our business. Are there any closing comments of members? I thank you for your staying overtime a little bit, and for those that were online, Senator Wilson and Senator Reinbold. So with that, thank you. Is that Senator Reinbold's voice?
Yeah. Can you just really quickly just remind people that their email is going to be heard, and I don't know if there's a specific cutoff date for that, because all these people that are waiting, I think it's really important that we get their testimony. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you so much, Senator Reinbold. So I would encourage people to get their emails to no later than Tuesday, because that will be, since it will be brought back up. I believe the chair has the intention to bring it back up on Tuesday. I'm not sure what date that would be, the 23rd, I think. So I would encourage you the Monday by close of business, get your written testimony to, again, I'll say it's the acronym for Senate Health Social Services, SHSS@akleg.gov. Thank you for that, Senator Reinbold. And with that, we are adjourned at 3:05 p.m.